Thank you very much, Brishustam Rodas, Rishlita. Sam, it's a pleasure to join you once again for the Siyum. Tonight, I will admit, it's with a certain sense of Mesiras Nefesh. Your Rav has called me well in advance, and I accepted this engagement. Since then, a cousin became a Kala, and the Chasana is now. And one of my Balabatim also is making a Chasana tonight as well. So if I need your help to vouch for me that I'm here giving the Shir, so please feel free to do so. But right, to pass up this opportunity, I did not want to do. It's a beautiful annual experience to be able to make such a siyum, to see the chashivas haTorah, the kavod haTorah, very appropriate for a time on the threshold of Purim, a time of kabbalas haTorah, kima v'kiblu. And if I were to ask you, which parshin the Torah highlights Mamed Har Sinai, kabbalas haTorah, well, of course, it's Parshas Yisro. Yisro is the events of Mamed Har Sinai, Vayisyatzvu. And yet, somewhat surprising, in the very end of Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah tells us, Vel Moshe Amar Alei El Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu already is told to go in Har Sinai to receive the Torah Hashem. Somehow, Kabbalah Satorah is divided into two Parshios, Parshas Yisro and Parshas Mishpatim. And no doubt it begs the question, why exactly is that true? Why can't you have a seamless description in a single Parsha of Mamed Har Sinai and Kabbalah Satorah? In fact, if you look carefully, Amachlokes Rashi and the Ramban, what really is the most appropriate sequence? Which came first? Rashi writes, based on the Sugyan Shabbos Peches, based on Mechilta, first Parshas Mishpatim. That was Dalet Sivan. Only afterwards, Parshas Yisro. And the Ramban, as you can imagine, Kedarko Bakodesh, very hesitant to apply that principle of Ein Muktam Umuchar B'Torah. The Ramban writes, no, the sequence is Yisro, followed by Mishpatim. But it begs the question that, aside from that sequential difference, why is it necessary to have two parshios at all? What is that the second parsha add to the first event of Mamed Har Sinai? Perhaps the answer is as follows. If someone were to ask you a very simple question, and that is the Torah Hashem, how would you describe that? How would you describe the nature, the character, the essence of what a Sefer Torah is supposed to represent? Perhaps there's a twofold answer. On the one hand, no doubt, a Sefer Torah is a Sefer HaMitzvos. Makos Chaf Gimel Rabbi Simloi, the Taryag Mitzvos Nemelo Moshe Misina. And no doubt that is clear, that that is what Mamed Har Sinai represents, that that was our opportunity, the acceptance of Taryag Mitzvos. In fact, isn't that what the Seres HaDibros embody, all of the Taryag Mitzvos HaTorah? You know, the Medrash writes that if you'll count the letters in Seres HaDibros, from Anochi Ad Asher L'Riecha, well, of course, there are 613, because every letter corresponds to a mitzvah of the Torah itself. Rashi writes the name of Rav Sadyagon, that all the Taryag Mitzvos can be divided under 10 different divisions. Each heading is one of the Seres HaDibros. These are not really mitzvos, but rather these are categories of all of the mitzvos HaTorah. And Seres HaDibros represent the totality of the Torah Hashem. You know, the Torah tells us in Dvarim, in Perek Yud Zayin, that a melech is obligated to write an additional Sefer Torah. And v'hayseimo v'korbo kol yemechayav, he always has to carry that with him. There's a magnificent comment of the Ran, Drosh HaSaran and Drosh Yer Aleph, that a shofet doesn't have to carry the Sefer Torah with him, because a shofet positions himself within the Kosle Beis Medrash. But the job description, of course, of a melech is sometimes he finds himself far afield in environments that can be very hostile to the Torah Hashem. And how do you survive when you are without that anchor that a melech does not always have the luxury to position himself? And the answer is that v'haisi imo, v'karabo, koyim echayev, make sure that you carry the Sefer Torah with you. the Gemara's description, Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Aleph, is that v'ososo kamin kameya v'toa al zero. The Melech makes an amulet, he affixes it to his arm, and that's it. He always walks with the Sefer Torah. Not my question, but a question of the Bali Atosus. How do you affix a Sefer Torah to your arm? How exactly is that done? We've all seen small Sefer Torah, but tiny Sefer Torah? How exactly is that accomplished? You know what the Bali Atosus write? They're in Mikros Gedolos, Das Kedim Bali Atosus, Dvaram Yedzayim. The Melech carries with him the Aseres Adibros, because the Aseres Adibros represent the totality of the Torah Hashem. You know who points this out? A Rashbam. The Rashbam asks the kasha that we're all familiar with from a young age, but not so familiar with the Rashbam's teretz. His kasha is, the Seder, Dayenu. What's the difficult line in Dayenu? That's the kasha of the Rashbam. No? Ilu kirvanu lifnei har Sinai? V'nasam lanu asatora, really? It would have been enough just to be there and not to receive the Torah Hashem? That would have been sufficient. Rashbam writes the following. You know, originally, the Torah said this, that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to receive the Torah Hashem, and Bavur Yishma Ha'am Bedabri Imach, we would eavesdrop the conversation between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. We would not be players in Mamon Har Sinai. This would be between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. We would be there, but we would receive the Torah Hashem, of course, indirectly. And you know what? That would have been enough. It would have been enough had Moshe Rabbeinu given us the Torah Hashem. But you know what? We were zolche. We were able to hear, the Rashbam writes, the Aseres Adibros. And that's the meaning of Nasan Lanu Esatora. It wasn't just simply that we were bystanders and the Torah was transmitted to us only al Yidei Moshe Rabbeinu, but we were players. We heard the Aseres Adibros. And the Aseres Adibros, the Rashbam writes, represents the totality of the Torah Hashem. And therefore, we can honestly say, although it would have been enough simply to position ourselves and had received the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, but we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Nasan Lanu Es HaTorah, because that's what the Aseres Adibros represent. So no doubt, if this is the case, the Aseres Adibros teach us that a Sefer Torah is a Sefer HaMitzvos. That's clear. Our obligation in Mitzvos HaTorah comes from Mamad Har Sinai. But if a person were to tell me that's all a Sefer Torah is, it's just a Sefer HaMitzvos, the do's and don'ts of the Torah Hashem, necessary, vital, critical, but that's it? That's all that is? You'd be missing an incredibly important dimension to Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah and Mamad Har Sinai was not merely a moment of our obligation in mitzvahs, but it was entry into a bris, a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Mamad Har Sinai represented that covenantal relationship, where the Torah Hashem is not merely a Sefer HaMitzvos, but it's a Sefer HaBris, a Sefer HaBris. If you'll ask me, where does that come from, that you refer to the Torah as a Sefer HaBris? The answer is, isn't it a pasuk of Vayikach, Sefer HaBris? And where is that pasuk found? In Parshas Mishpatim. After all, that Yisro represents the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Torah. But receiving the Torah Hashem is also a bris. The Gemara in Krisus and Daf Tes, Gerus. That all comes from Mamad Har Sinai. A person who, on their own volition, enters into a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, two parshios that represent two very different dimensions of Kabbalah Satorah. Obligation in mitzvos, but also a knis of the bris. And you know, now that Machlokas Rashi and Ramban is so enlightening, what is the cause? What is the effect? What comes first? What comes second? According to Rashi, you begin with Mishpatim, entry into a bris. And therefore, necessarily, you're obligated in performance of mitzvahs. And the Ramban writes that no, you begin with the commitment to perform and maintain the mitzvah satorah, and that culminates, that climaxes into a sense of a bris. If I were to ask someone, do you agree to observe the Sefer HaMitzvos, what would the most appropriate answer be? A single word. No? Nasa. Nasa. If I ask a person, are you willing to enter into a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Nasa is not enough. You have to respond, of course, Nasa v'nishma. Where is Nasa found? In Parshas Yisro. And Nasa v'nishma, of course, only in Parshas Mishpatim. Because those are the two dimensions of what Kabbalah Sator represents. And that was the response of Knesset Yisrael. Nasa when it comes to the mitzvah Sator. But a sense of nishma, targum, nikabel, we're willing to accept. And those are the two parts of Maman Har Sinai, Kabbalah Sator. It had to be divided into two parshios. Otherwise, maybe we would think that there's only a single dimension too. And that cannot be. You know, Tosus is so bothered. Shabbos, Naf Peches. On the one hand, Nasa v'nishma means that we receive the Torah Hashem willingly, on our own volition. But at the same time, Kaf Aleihen Har Kegigis, we were forced. We didn't have much choice. Tosus is bothered, which one is it? Did we do so on our own volition, or was there an element of coercion? Tosus writes that originally we accepted willingly. That's Nasa v'nishma, Parshas Mishpatim. Like Rashi Shita, that came first. Once we agreed, so Tosus writes, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to see to it that we wouldn't rescind, we wouldn't retract, and therefore, Koflein Har Kegigis. So Tosus writes, initially yes, subsequently we were bound. No, but perhaps one could suggest that these two elements reflect the two dimensions of Kabbalah Satora. What is the basis of Kafalein Har Kegigis? Vayisyatzvu, Besachti Sahar. And where is that pasuk found? In Parshas Yisro. Because when it comes to the mitzvah Satora, that's discretionary. That's something that I am going to decide maybe yes, maybe no. The mitzvah Satora are mandated. And that is Vayisyatzvu. But when you speak about a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is Vayisyatzvu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a bris with Klal Yisrael simply because our hands are tied, we have no choice. That requires an element of anasa v'nishma. And therefore, two dimensions to Kabbalah Sator. The bris is nasa v'nishma. And vayisyatzvu, a parshas Yisrael, they understand the sefer mitzvos. That you have to recognize, that is something that is mandated. That is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us. You know, perhaps one could even go a step further and argue that there are two elements even to Nasa v'nishma. Even Nasa v'nishma has two different motifs. You know, if I were to ask you the following question, who says Nasa v'nishma? You know, typically speaking, a free-thinking person, you would agree without even being informed. Of course, you want to make an intelligent, an informed decision. You don't say Nasa v'nishma. What type of individual says Nasa v'nishma? I'll tell you something I think which is amazing. If you look in the Sfarno and you look in Rashi, they give two extreme examples, opposites. You know what the Sfarno writes? You know who says Nasa v'nishma? An Eved. An Eved does not have a right of refusal. An Eved does not have a right to exercise discretion. An Eved cannot say no. So when an Adon turns to an Eved and says, do you agree to, even without fully understanding what his mission, what his charge is, well, of course, an Eved is going to say yes. So the Sfarno writes, Nasa v'nishma is Avdus. There's an amazing comment of Rashi. You know, during Shavuos, Purim, it's very common. You learn Shabbos, Daf Peches Amud Aleph. But you know what? All too often, we don't turn the page. The top Rashi and Daf Peches Amud Beis. You know who says Nasa v'nishma? Rashi writes, Kederech ha'osim me'ahava. An Ohev says Nasa v'nishma. You want to demonstrate that your heart is into this. You want to demonstrate the true sense of love and passion. You know what the answer is? The answer is absolutely yes. You know, your children come home, your son, your daughter comes home with their prospective chas and kala, and you ask them, how is this going to work exactly? And The Minasava is going to dictate, but nonetheless, the answer is absolutely yes. Narashi. Kedera Chaosim Meyava. So it's amazing that the Sforna writes in Eved, and Rashi writes in Ohi, the first glance, those two do not seem to go together. The Shita of the Sforno and the Shita of Rashi, in Eved and in Ohi. But I'll tell you that I don't think there's any contradiction at all. When you're dealing with a Basav Adam, my relationship with another, you're right. You don't relate as an Eved the same way you relate as an Ohev. You don't associate Avdus with Av. But I will tell you, that's not true when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avinu Malkeinu, there's no contradiction at all to be an Eved and to be an Ohev. Yismach Moshev Matnas Chelko Kievet Neman Karasala. The simcha of being an Eved. That's uniquely true when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's true when it comes to any other relationship, you don't associate Avdus and Ava. But when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lo kein avdi Moshe b'chol beisi nemanu. The greatest accolade is to be an Eved Hashem. You know, at the last Siyum Hashas, I was asked to go to Lublin and to participate in the Siyum Hashas and speak. On the way to the Siyum Hashas, we stopped at the Kever of the Sfas Emes. They asked me to say something in the name of the Sfas Emes. What I had said at that time was the following, that the Sfas Emes turned to all of his Balabatim, all of his Hasidim, right before Hallel, on Sukkos. A great moment of simcha. Sukkot, which is man simchasenu, Hallel, the Ramban writes, is part of the mitzvah of simcha v'samachta b'chagecha. And he told the Hasidim that in Hallel, when you get to Ana Hashem, you have to respond with a great, great passion of simcha, and Hallel began. They got to Ana Hashem Hoshiana, half of the tzibur responded. Half was silent. They got to Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, quite the opposite. And you can imagine that after Hallel, all of a sudden, the discussion that ensued, that who was right, what exactly did the Sfas Emes mean? It was clear that both were wrong. Both were wrong. The Kavon, the Sfas Emes, was Ana Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha, earlier in Hallel. The Simcha of being an Eved Hashem. That's the Simcha. There's an amazing comment to the Radak. Radak is found in Tilim. Kuf Tezayin, Pasuk Tezayin. You ever notice the Hallel? How do you spell the word Ana? Or the Kesem Aron Sofer writes the name of the Gaon, that Ana is pronounced Milara. Not Ana Hashem, but Ana Hashem. How do you spell that? How do you spell Ana Hashem? So look carefully. Now next time you recite Hallel in your Siddur, it's spelled two different ways. Hoshiana Hatzlichana is Aleph Nun Aleph. And Ana Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha is spelled Aleph Nun He. The Radak writes, that's stunning. Because Aleph Nun Aleph means please. And Aleph Nun He means thank you. That's Oda. Hoshiana Hatzlichana, please, we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ana Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For the schus of being an Eved. Being an Eved Hashem is not a fallback position, b'di'eved, but rather we emerge as being an Eved Hashem. Avdus and Ava can go hand in hand. And I'll tell you what I think is an amazing, amazing indicator. It wasn't that long ago in Parshas Mishpatim that we read about the plight of the Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri who serves, all of a sudden now has an opportunity after Sheish to go free. Somehow he declines, he wants to remain an Eved. The Torah tells us, V'ratza, Esazna Maratzea V'avada Liyolam, pierce the ear, you serve until Yovam. Rashi is bothered, but this is a machlokes Tanaim, Tanakam, Rabbalazar. Why exactly do you pierce the ear? Why do you pierce the ear? It must be that the Sevet heard, but he failed to internalize, and therefore the ear is pierced. What did he hear? Either Oz and Shoshama lo signal, v'holach zeh v'gona, so therefore teiratze, good. Or else maybe Oz and Shoshama kili b'nei Yisrael v'odayim, v'holach zeh v'kona odo me'atzmo, and therefore teiratze, his ear is pierced. He either heard don't steal nisto, or didn't he hear you're an Evet Hashem? And he went ahead and sold himself as, so therefore it's Siyah. That's a significant machlokas. If it's because of Oz and Shoshama lo signal, it's only in the limited case of a Nimkar, B'gnev Oso, where he stole, he was caught, Bezin sold him. If it's because Oz and Shoshama, Klibi Yisra Avodim Avodayim, even in the case of Mocher Es Atzma. Let me ask you a very simple question. Regardless of the reason, reason A, reason B, irrespective of the reason. I'll tell you a question. Now, one word. Timing. How do you understand the timing of Ritzia? I always tell my Talmidim, you're emerging, you're in Chinuch. I'll tell you, there's a Musar Haskel. Listen, this is found in Maseches Machos. No? Halkeu miyad oshtok. You know, you're a parent, you're a Rebbe. If ever there's a consequence, this is necessary. Because someone, they missed it. You know what? Immediate. And then move on. No, Gemara. Halkeu miyad oshtok. You go ahead and pierce the ear of the Eved. The Eved looks at you. Why are you piercing my ear? I said, why am I piercing your ear? Ozen shosham lo signo. The Eved looks. Lo signo? You mean years ago? Years ago I saw? Tchila sheish I saw? Catch him with the goods. Pierce his ear. Why are you doing so? Because we caught you with the stolen merchandise. That's why we're doing so. V'nim kar b'gnei vaso. Why in the world are you piercing the ear now? Years and years later, it seems like there's such a disconnect. What about Oz and Shoshama Klibi Yisra Avodayim? When in the world did he decide to become an Eved? Now? Sure, now he remained an Eved. But he became an Eved years ago. The moment a person is Mocher Es Atzmo, let the Torah demand Ritzia. At least there he'll connect, he'll understand. Years later, all of a sudden you're piercing the ear because of what you did. You'll be lucky if David remembers why it is that you're piercing the ear now. How do you understand the timing? The timing of Ritzia. I'll tell you two answers that I think are very, very critical. One is an answer of Amaro Diskin. Ozen Shoshama lo signal. How is it possible? A person commits a chait now and the punishment is years later? You know what Maral Diskin writes? The punishment is immediate. You know what the punishment is? Avdus. That's the punishment. But a yesod in life. Sometimes you experience a bump in the road. There's a consequence. We don't believe, the beautiful words of the Messiah, the Ramban and then the Parshas Bo. This is random, this is capricious. Obviously not, no? Ramban writes, what do you mean? Ein la adam chelet b'teras Moshe, b'inad shanam in kod, v'enem ikrenu kulam nisim. Ein bolam tevlo shalom. Nothing is natural. Nothing in this world is random. Everything is for a purpose. You stole? Avdus is the onesh. But when you receive an onesh, all you have to do, take a step back. Introspection. Bichozer b'tshuva. You know what the tragedy of the Eved Ivri is? What was intended to be an onesh became an ideal. All of a sudden now the sentence is up. Ahavti. I want to remain. That's tragic. When something is intended to be an onesh, and there's such a confusion of consciousness that's perceived as being idyllic. But to an extent, aren't we all guilty of this? Galus. V'pnei chataino galino meretzein. A dire onish. You know, but we live in such a time of chasdei Hashem, it's so easy to see daily existence not as an onish at all. And not always to be Mitzapel Yeshua. Because after all, bottom line, how dire is our plight in Golos. You know, you look and then see this in the beginning of this Agada, an unusual kasha, an unusual teretz. Now, in all my years in Rabbanus, I never fielded such a kasha. That's the opening nesivis in the Haggadah. How is it that you celebrate the Seder? How do you pretend to be B'nai Chorin? We're surrounded by persecution of Golos, and we have to pretend as though we're a Ben Chorin. How do you do so? That's the nesivis of kasha. And you know what his answer is? Because just like we're Avadim in Mitzrayim, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us then, so therefore, despite the fact that we're surrounded by persecution, Emunah, Bitachon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem us. Anybody ask you that, how do you fear a Seder? How do you experience Teiros? We experience Teiros. People sincerely ask me, how are you Nisabel and Tisha B'Av? That's a challenge. Because when things seem so good, it's hard too. But recognize, Maral Diskin writes this Yisod, if Rachman Litzlan, you don't recognize an Onesh, then it becomes necessary to receive another Onesh. In order to rattle you, to hone your vision, to recognize that this is, it takes persecution of Golos to recognize Mipnei Chateinu Galina Meyartzeinu. The Onesh for the Eved is now only because he failed to internalize the Onesh that was indeed immediate. That's what Maral Diskin writes, if it's Ozen Sheshama Lo Signa. But what about if it's Ozen Sheshama Kvi B'nei Yisrael Avadu? Why is it that you pierce the ear only now and not then? Maybe the answer is as follows. This person was Mocher Es Atzmo. He sold himself as an Eved. That's clear. Why did he do so? Why did he do so? Why in the world did you decide to become an Eved? You know what the Torah tells us? Ki yamul chachicha. He was desperate. Out of a sense of despair, the person was distraught. He was depressed. Out of a sense of desperation, he became an Eved. You know, I would have taken him aside, and I would have said to him, that's not appropriate. That's not the appropriate Torah response. But that has nothing at all to do with our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of a sudden, he serves for Sheish. And now he has an opportunity to go free. And he decides to remain in heaven. Why does he decide to remain in heaven? Here the Torah does not say, Ki yamo kachicha, because he was depressed, because he was distraught, because his back was against the wall. What does the pasuk say? You know why once I'm in an Eved? Ahavti Yisadoni. Ahavti Yisad. Ooh. That's a convergence. That's a confluence of Avdus and Ava. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in. Avdus and Ava. That is uniquely mine. You can only be an Eved and an Ohev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Ritzi is done right now. That's Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadi. Avdus, which is Machmas Av, Ahavti Yisadoni. How can that possibly be? And here we'll tell you, that's exactly Nasa V'nishman V'yisyatzvu. V'yisyatzvu means recognize. The Torah says Hashem is Avdus. This is not discretionary. You're bound to the Sefer HaMitzvahs. But there's the Ahava of the Sefer HaBris. And therefore recognize that that shiluv, that confluence, that's critical for aspects of Avodas Hashem. There's an amazing comment of Tosus, Menachos Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. A difference between tefillin as opposed to talis and tzitzis. What does tefillin represent? The Gemara Brachos, Daf Yud Aleph. Tefillin is a pe'er. It's an adornment, it's a jewel, it's a crown. Rachmana Litzlan, a person is an avel, and avel, b'yamrishon, is not allowed to wear tefillin. It's not appropriate to adorn yourself. And therefore, even after the kfura, no longer mishamei semut lefanav. But tefillin, you don't adorn yourself on the first day of Avelus. If tefillin is an adornment, it's a pe'er, it's a crown, what exactly is a talis? What is tzitzis?
So Tosfos writes, Nachas Mem Gimel Amud Beis, if a person is an Eved,
he wears a garment that is Big Day Abdus. An Eved wears a type of clothing that identifies him as being. And that's what a talis is. Tosfos says it's a beged of Avdus. I am an Eved Hashem, and this is my beged of Avdus. You know, unusual. So, you know, you wrap yourself in the talis, and you crown yourself in the tefillin, because Avinu Malkeinu, because there's no contradiction between the pe'er of tefillin and the beged of avdus of talis. I'll tell you that there is a certain paradox, because if I were to ask you, do I really have to put on tefillin in the morning? You're going to tell me, absolutely yes. You really don't have any discretion. You don't have any wiggle room. Of course you must. A person will tell you, look, technically, do I really have to wear this talis? You'll tell them, ooh, all the lumdas know that, well, if you don a beged of dalet kamfos, then you're obligated in tzitzis, but you know what? If you don't wear the beged of dalet kamfos, there is no obligation. There's no obligation. In other words, when it comes to talis, you have to opt in. You have to don the beged of dalet kamfos. Otherwise, no. When it comes to tefillin, you must. Categorically, you're bound. That sounds a little bit unusual, because tefillin represents pe'ercha chavoshalecha, posuk in Yechezkel Yeralev. And tzitzis is avdus. I would have thought that maybe the opposite should be true. And that is that the eved is bound, and the ben melech can exercise choice and discretion. Well, apparently, Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us this. I demand that you see yourself as a ben melech. And kaviyocho, I request that you see yourself as an eved. A person asks you, why are you an eved Hashem? I don't want the answer to be, because I have a choice. Schar and onesh. I'm only an eved by demand. You know why you're an eved? Because yismach Moshe. Ki eved neman karasala. This is not avdus machmas docha. This is ahavti yisadon. And therefore, amazing, that built in to the beged of avdus is that discretion. That Kadosh Baruch Hu says you have an opportunity to become an eved. I demand that you see yourself as a ben melech and an opportunity to become an eved. You know, there is the Gemara Yevamos, Daf Memvav, says something striking. Let's assume a person becomes an eved kanani. So realize, an eved kanani requires a form of a gerus. Bris mila is necessary. Tevila is necessary. It's not just simply a matter of a work description, but a gerus is necessary. So a non-Jew decides to become an Eved Kanani, bris mila, and now tefila. So the Eved Kanani is tovel and mikvah. But how do we demonstrate that this is a tefila of avdus? So the Gemara has an unusual description. The Gemara says, well, look, this Eved is tovel and mikvah. Yevamos Daf Mem Vav. And the Adon is standing there at the edge of the mikvah, and he places Zulta Detina Areshin. It's Lashon HaGemara. He placed a kli made out of earth on top of his head. And that demonstrates that he's an Eved. It's an unusual depiction. The Gemara doesn't say what the source of this is.
I think the source is obvious. But that's exactly Kafalein Harkigigis. That's Kabbalah Sator. Recognize that it's a bris. And the opportunity, the simcha of that bris, that's clear. But at the end of the day, recognize that there is an avos. The Torah does mandate. The Torah demands. The Torah insists. And that is the beauty of being an Eved Hashem. The fact that there's no contradiction between an Eved
in an ohev. There's a magnificent comment that the stipler has. It's found in Birchas Peretz, the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra. The stipler writes that when you look throughout the Torah Hashem, there's so much that's discretionary. There's so many things that the Torah does not demand. Many demands, of course, but there are many parshios that are irushus.
The beginning of Chumash Vayikra, certain karbanos you must. Other karbanos, you may. Opportunities. You have an opportunity to bring an olas nadava. You don't have an obligation to do so.
There are certain parshios in the Torah, nezirus, irushus, not an absolute chiyuv. Mikra Hadin, Shachris Mincha, Atfilaskova, Tfilasarvis, we pass like Rabbi Yeshua, Brachas Chavzayin, and Rishus. Even mitzvos, you have to give truma. How much truma? So you'll tell me, Mikra Hadin, Chitachas Poteres Asakri, a single grain. Beyond that, it's really up to you. The stipler asks a very simple, simple question. Why does the Torah contain Mili Derishus? Why does the Torah have certain parshios that are discretionary? If they're really important, it's essential to do this as a ben Torah, let the Torah say you must. And if you're going to tell me, well, it's not so important, why exactly is it included? So the stipler writes, the Torah wants a person to exhibit and to feel internally avas Hashem. How do you mandate Ava? How is it the Torah says, be an Ohev? How do you reach a level of Avas Hashem? It's the stipler writes Yisav. It's true, ben Adon Lamakom, it's true, ben Am Lachaver. You know, Baruch Hashem, you know that you meet your future son-in-law, you know, you say to him, are you really willing to treat my daughter at, and he responds, I'm only going to do that which I absolutely must. Nothing beyond. Nothing more than. Bounce. Not like, yeah, that's Ava. Only to do that which you must. Ava, by definition, means overreaching. An opportunity to be able to soar above and beyond. The Torah wants us to develop a sense of Avas Hashem. So of course the Torah is going to contain not only obligations, but opportunities. Opportunities. Not obligations. So certain karbanos are obligations. You're Ola Rega. And all of a sudden I see, you're not just bringing the necessary karban chatos, the necessary karban asham, and the karbanos haregel. You're offering an olas nadava. And I turn to you and say, like, why? The answer is because Avodas Hashem, Aliyah LeMikdash, this is a privilege. This is an opportunity. And you demonstrate that. Of course, there has to be a tefillah, which is a tefillas rishus. Because if a person only davens because he must, that's a sad reflection on the nature, the character of his tefillah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu builds into the system of tefillah a tefillas nadava, a tefillas rishus. And sometimes, I always tell my Talmidim that it's those discretionary windows that shed the greatest light on who you are. Because of course you have to do that which is necessary and mandated. Schar and onesh, of course. But when you overreach, that's when the true character emerges. That is the midas ahava. And therefore, that convergence, an evid, of course, but it can't just be avdus. There has to be a discretionary element to the Torah Hashem. The greatness, no doubt, of Purim. Hadar kiblua b'me'ach HaShverosh. A reacceptance of the Torah Hashem. Did anyone demand? Did anyone mandate? Absolutely not. This is something that was done purely on her own volition. That's remarkable. You know, Purim was at a time of unbelievable hester panim, where the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not obvious, just as the Shem Hashem is not present and obvious in the Megillah itself. And to be able to recognize those nisim nistorim, that's remarkable. To be able to use a nes nistar as a basis of Kabbalah Satorah, that's even more remarkable. Without any demand, without any vayis yatsu, but hadar kiblu abemeah hashverosh. That's something that's remarkable. You know, when you experience a nes nigle, you have no choice but to admit. Imagine if you're walking and you witness Kriyas Yam Suf. Well, of course this is Hashgachas Hashem. But to see Hashgachas Hashem in that which seems to be natural, and that which can be dismissed as being typical, that's something which is absolutely remarkable. You know, I'll tell you what you saw. When a person witnesses a nes nigle, you're blown away by the nes. You don't need any context, any perspective. You see Kriyas Yam Suf, you know this is an ace. You know what the secret to an ace nister is? You're right. If you just look at that act, you may not be able to see Hashgachas Hashem so obviously. But you have to take a step back. You have to have panoramic vision. You have to view the story of the Megillah from the beginning to end. And when you do that, it emerges. It emerges. Maybe each nes nister is not so obvious. But when you see the seamlessness of, that's remarkable. What's the first thing the Baal Kori does before he starts reading the Megillah? You know, unusual, no? He opens up the Megillah, no? Shulchan Aruch, Poreis ki geres kedei laharos anes. Before you read the Megillah Tzibur, Persimonisa, you have to unfold it. You have to open it. You can't only read that exactly which is in front of you. If you do so, you're likely to miss the entire point. But you know what? Undeniably, when the Megillah is unfolded and you see the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed, that's something that's remarkable. And if you can see Hashgachas Hashem in Nisim Nistarim, and you can utilize that as an opportunity for Kabbalah Satorah, that is Chuasam Hayisal Netzach. That's something which is absolutely enduring. You don't require Nisim Gluyim, but you recognize Hashgachas Hashem in every facet of day-to-day life of Al Nisachar Shebechol Yom Yimanu. That's what the Gon writes in his Pirush, the very beginning of Megillas Esther. That's the uniqueness of Purim. That even in times of Hastara, one recognizes Gulas Hashem. And perhaps more than any other time, that's relevant for us. Galus or Galus of Chesed? We have to be mindful of the challenge of the Eved Ivri, not to confuse that with an ideal. Recognize Chasdei Hashem, but at the same time, to be Metzapeh Li Yeshua. That's not always so easy to do, that sense of balancing. I'll just conclude, there's a mashal of the Kadmonim. The Kadmonim write that there was a person who was a sculptor. He was able to craft a magnificent work, a magnificent image of a horse. He did so, and he took that horse, and he put it in the public fair, in the Rishus HaRabim, in order to see how everyone would respond to the beauty of his creation. You know what? No one stopped for a second. No one bat an eye. No one stopped to notice anything that he did. You know, he came home somewhat dejected that, how could this be? No one noticed. His family members told him, well, of course no one noticed. The sculpture that you made was so realistic, people thought that that was a horse. And a horse in Rosh HaSarabim is not worthy of everyone stopping and paying attention. Why should that be? So he said, what should I do? I should make an obvious flaw to demonstrate that this is not a real horse, it just looks like a horse. And, you know, they suggested to him the following. Imagine if you split the horse in two, and you put half on one side of the road, half on the other side of the road, I guarantee you, everyone would stop and notice. That's the Kadmoni. That's a mashal of the Kadmoni. That's powerful. You know, if we would recognize, if we would see Kriyas Yamsuf, we wouldn't stop and take notice. You know, all of a sudden, half the water here, half the water there, and all of a sudden, the Abash of Emsa, we would stop. But when things run its natural course, isn't that an opportunity? Avana Hashem ken yavrecha. The Hodata HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aval Nisacha Shebechol Yamimah. And that is the greatness of God. Even in ongoing Nisim Nistarim, we recognize Hashgachas Hashem, and that culminated in the sense of Kabbalah Satan. Bezras Hashem, that we should be zochet, to be able to see the Nisim Gvulim of Yeshua Hashem. But recognize the mission, the statement that we have. Two parshias of Kabbalah Satan. The Sefer HaMitzvot, the Sefer of Ris, to be an Eved, to be an Ovid, Vayisyatzva, Nase V'nishma, the Simcha of Avdus. Because we recognize Avinu Malkeinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu relates to us from that prism and the schus of not only being a Ben Melech, but Yismach Moshe Matnas Chelko, Ki Eved Ne'eman Katz.
I thought I was between the tequilas here. I'm so still. Tanya, not even a cough. This is why Rabbi Sachs holds the record for frequency of invite. If you'll set your calendar for about 3 years from now, Yirtzeh Hashem, he does. He's been here every few years, and that's my doing. Baruch Hashem. Is the sign-up sheet around? Can I just don't walk out without it? Has everybody seen it? And we'll ask one of our generous host sponsors, Rabbi Friedman, to lead us in the benching. Bishus HaKohanim. Marv, yeah, Marv following.
I'm going to go to the next one. I need to go to the